Let's see your Bibles. Word. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. Very good. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 21. Numbers 21. Lord, I pray you help people find Numbers 21. And I pray you bless us today. And I pray that you would teach us your word and challenge us in our relationship with you. In Jesus' name. Everyone said? Amen. Thursday, I was in Houston, Texas, at a meeting with about 40 pastors from churches from 1,500 to 28,000 people in their members, in their attendance. And it was a leadership meeting where we were sharing ideas about things that we struggle with, have questions about, from management to finances to new buildings, sanctuary, all that kind of, whatever we want to talk about. And there were a couple of people there who were leadership gurus answering these questions. And one's a pastor from Chicago, Bill Hybels, who's a leadership, John Maxwell, who's also a leadership expert. And we were talking about those kind of things. And so we're asking questions and got to meet some people. And I walk in the lobby, we first got there, and some of these pastors I had heard of but never met, so it was very exciting to meet them. And one of them was a guy who I heard of, and he had a suit vest on, just a vest and a slacks and a white tight shirt. Well, it was tight because his arms were like this big. Just a muscle dude. I was like, that's so-and-so? You know, because you have this picture in your mind what these people look like, and then they don't look like another. And so I'm like, I'm going to go meet that dude. So I go walk over to him, and I was like, how much do you bench? That was how I met him. Like, what are you? He's giggling. No. I said, nah, man, let me feel your arm. I was feeling his arm. I was like, man, how strong are you? Like, nah, I don't do that. So we kind of giggled our way into the meeting. And he was just a cool guy, you know, and it was, and I was like, you know, I'm gonna stay in contact with this guy. So anyway, we get in the meeting, we're all asking these questions, and this guy says, I have my church is this, and blah, blah, blah. And I am overwhelmed. And unless something changes, I'm going to die. And the room was just like it is now, silent. Well, a couple of reasons. One, humility he had to say it. And his church is gigantic. It's over 20,000 people. He was saying what all of us were either feeling or have felt. We're going to die. It's too much. So we got around and prayed for him, and I talked to him later. I said, look, man, when I met you in the lobby, I just wanted to be your friend. Now I really want to be your friend. Give me your phone number. And he's like, you better call me. I said, this dude's here know a whole lot more about this than me, but I want to help you in any way I can. And because, you know, it's just, you're like a band of brothers because we're all dealing with the same stuff. When people get saved, I'm not talking about pastors now, I'm talking about Christians. When people get saved, a lot of times they have this perception that God is going to prevent hard times from coming into their life. Sometimes people have that. Now, once you get saved and you start walking with God, you now know it's not going to happen. He's not going to prevent it. And you wonder, well, is it ever going to slow down? Well, God's not going to prevent it. He's going to protect you from being crushed by it, though, if you trust him. It's a difference. I mean, the Wizard of Oz, Dorothy, the Scarecrow, and the Tin Man are walking in the forest at night. Think about that. You're supposed to be scared. Where do you expect lions and tigers and bears to be? In the woods. So if you're walking in the wilderness, don't be shocked. And just as we now are walking in this world, don't be shocked that you're going to have drama. The question is, what are you going to do when it happens? And we're studying in the book of Numbers. The series is called Road Trip. We have about four more weeks left. And today we're going to look at, you remember, the Jews walking from Mount Sinai to the plains of Moab. And as they walk, they're constantly complaining about this, constantly struggling with this. And we've been learning a lot of insights about our relationship with God and our journey. Today we're going to see that they encounter lions, tigers, and bears. They encounter some snakes. They encounter some hardship. And we're going to learn three things that we need not to do when we encounter our problems. Number one in your notes, number one, is you want to avoid impatience and be purified by the process. Say purified. Purified. Say purified. 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 Verse 4, chapter 21. Then they journeyed from Mount Or by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged along the way. What the Bible tells us is that as they're walking, they're going around the Red Sea, down through the Edom, and they just got flat out tired. I'm tired of walking in the wilderness. It's taking too long to get there. We're going to see in a minute. We don't have any food. We don't have any water. It's hot. It's dusty. And I'm kind of fed up. You ever feel that way about your life? You ever feel like, when am I ever going to be blessed? When am I going to, when is this going to get better? Anybody? Amen. So here's my question to you. What is it that you want? What is it that you want from God? If I was God, which I am not, obviously, but if I was God, I would say, what do you want? I gave you a house or an apartment or a box. I gave you a wife that you do not deserve. I gave you a husband to punish you for your sin. No, I'm kidding. Oh, they say, hey. I gave you a job, making more money than you asked for, but it's still not enough. There's food in your refrigerator. There's clothes in your closet. What do you want? You ever ask, I want you to ask yourself, if God was to bless you, what does that mean to you? Now, for some of you, you would say, well, now that you're asking, I think that if God was to bless me and I was really happy, I would have a 7,500 square foot house in La Jolla on the water, you know, overlooking the rocks and the waves. And, you know, not by the railroad tracks. I want it in front of the railroad tracks, you know. And I would have three no-maintenance wives serving me at my beck and call. And I would have a Mercedes. And some of you have expectations like that. When you think of God blessing you, you think of material things, and you think those material things will make you happy. That's your problem. Those things never make you happy. If God gave you $150,000 a year, you would rack up $250,000 of bills. If God gave you $300,000, you rack up $400,000 of bills. That stuff's not going to make you happy. Now, I'm sure y'all would love to try it out. I'm with you. You know what I mean? Like to have something, something, something. But what God really wants is just to walk with you. In other words, if you were to say, I would be blessed if, what you need to do is write that down and then read the Bible and see if the Bible agrees with that's what blessed means. If that's the kind of blessing God wants. I had a meeting with an employee once, and we were talking about what motivates and demotivates each other so we can make sure we don't demotivate and motivate each other. And I am a very driven, impatient, want to do everything today kind of person. And I am an entrepreneurial by spirit. In other words, I always see what can happen, not what can't happen. I'm always thinking bigger, bigger, go, go, go. That's how God made me. I'm not ashamed of it. Some people don't like it, but that's all well, because God made us all different ways. But I am not the type of person that has to have everything today. I just love progress. As long as we're going there, I am very happy. That's it. As long as we're going there. What the motivates me is like, well, we can't do that because of this. Oh, then why should we breathe? I should just die right now. Can I live? Well, No, progress. Now, like we're trying to raise all this money for the building, if someone gave right now $100 million to pay for the building and all the stuff in the future and all the stuff, that would be great. Matter of fact, that would be the bomb. But it is so exciting to see us inch along with challenge and victory, challenge and victory. Now, if there is somebody who has that check, I mean, I ain't trying to discourage you, you know what I'm saying? If you want to drop it in the plate, we would just find some. I'll get my progress from somewhere else. I mean, I don't want to discourage you, but it is so exciting to walk with God along the way and have victory upon victory upon victory and have struggle and victory and growth and be able to deal with problems that last year would crush you. Now you're victorious over it and you can see how much you've grown spiritually. That's all God wants with you, is that you would trust him day in and day out. So when you are hit by the rockets of the devil, when you are hit by the fiery darts of the devil, you can say, I'm victorious. Now, long time ago, I saw the movie Scarface. I know it's not a very Christian movie. How many people saw that movie, by the way? Okay, look at me. How many people have a poster? I don't have one. I was imitating somebody. How many people saw it like 5 times? Yeah, okay. And if you remember in the movie, Al Pacino, is Al Pacino? Okay, I always get him mixed up. He's Tony Montana. And in the movie, he's a drug dealer. And at the end of the movie, he's getting shot left and right. Ba-da-da-da-da. I take your bullets. I take your bullets. And then just blah, 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 shooting this guy. And he has so much cocaine in him. He's so adrenaline. He's just like, and he's getting shot. Blah, blah, blah. And he's taking bullets. And he's so proud that he can get shot and not die. That only lasted about 15 seconds. You can't get shot and not die. Like that. But when you walk with God, the devil can shoot all his darts he wants. And you got the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the belt of truth. God can protect you. God wants to protect you. He wants to take you through the valley of the shadow of death. And fear no evil. No, you're going to go through. You're going to go through. But once you go through once, going through next time ain't no big deal. Remember when you were a little kid, mommy, don't turn out the light? Well, mommy knew there was no boogeyman in the dark. The only boogeyman in the dark is the booger in your nose is going to come out when you sleep. You ever wonder how the bad boys get on your face overnight? You think they walk out of your nose? That's the only boogeyman in your room. Then you realize there is no boogeyman. There is no boogeyman. There is no boogeyman. God does the same thing. And I would challenge you that you would say, Lord, you know what? All I want to do is have a victorious relationship, life-sustaining, obstacle-overcoming relationship with you, where you would give me counsel and encouragement and direction and make me feel loved and make me feel worth something. I just want to have that with you. Godliness, which is what I just described, with contentment, is great gain. If I could just sit at home knowing my life is not perfect. And by the way, my life ain't perfect. I got drama just like all y'all. Amen. And I could say in a week's time, I get 5 great pieces of news and 5 heart-wrenching pieces of news, just like you. And we all have things we can complain about. Matter of fact, there are some, well, I'll get to that in the next point. So the first thing I would challenge you is to say, Lord, you know what? I'm not gonna be impatient that I'm getting to somewhere because there's really nowhere to get. I just want to walk with you. And I want to be content with walking with you. Number 2, avoid complaining and say thank you. Everyone say thank you.
Thank you.
One more time, say thank you.
Thank you.
One more time, say thank you, Jesus,
thank you,
for all my problems. Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Jesus, for all my problems. I want to challenge you today when you go home. I want you to look your problem in the eye, if it's a person. If it's not a person, just write it down. And I want you to say out loud, thank you, God, for this problem. Because you cannot grow through problems unless you have problems. You can't grow through problems unless you have problems. You know, if someone say there's no pain, no gain without pain, it's true. You cannot get in shape without running your heart rate up. You cannot get in shape without feeling uncomfortable. My sister's living with me. She moved here, and her husband and her two kids, they live at our house right now, and they're trying to, they moved out here, so they're with us right now. I don't know why that was so hard to say. And they have a Dachshund, a little dog. And I completely forgot that they had this dog, and that the dog was coming with them to be in our house. Now, I don't have anything against dogs. I have a Dachshund. So I was like, oh, we got two dogs now. What? And for the first day, my dog was like psycho trying to kill this other dog. Because, not because they're both females, even though that's true. But it was one vicious female against another one. And my dog is a vicious female. She's very territorial, which is just normal because it's a dog. They get along now. My dog is in shape. I don't know why you see that so funny. My dog, and I should say our dog, is very well conditioned. The doctor even says, I can't believe how toned this dog is. Because we run this dog. We run this dog. And she's now so used to it. She's like, she has this little pink ball that squeaks, and she puts it in the mouth and drops it out of feet and barks because she wants us to throw it. So she runs and go gets it, brings it back every day, every single day. So sometimes we'll throw it outside real far, and she'll run back. So much, and then she gets tired, and she'll just go lay down, rest, and then my sister's dog, Butterball, Dachshund. So I'm like, Margaret, your dog is out of shape. My dog is out of shape. My dog, I said, look, your dog can't even run. Watch this, throw the ball. All it does is follow us around. This dog has anxiety, a detachment anxiety. It has to always be near you. And if they leave, she's... So then she starts following me around. Wherever I sit, she sits. If I get up and walk, she follows me, sits right by. She has to be near people. It's really kind of cute. But that dog... So I told my sister, I'm getting your dog in shape. Because I can't have someone in my house that's not in shape. I think a dog needs to lose about, 2.5 pounds. It's only about 5 pounds anyway. You can't have any gain without pain. I know that sounds like a cliche, but it is so true. God, you cannot grow unless you have discomfort. Let me say it this way. Your growth will begin with discomfort. And then it will end in more comfort than you had before the discomfort. Let me read this. Look at verse 5. The people spoke against God and against Moses. Let's stop right there and think about that for a minute. You want to speak against God? If God was sitting in front of you, would you speak against him? No. So we talk all this trash because we can't see him. That's why, because if you could see him, you wouldn't talk the trash. If you could see him, would you talk the trash? So the reason we do it is because we can't see him. Right. But isn't that stupid? Yeah, because he's there. He sees us. Matter of fact, he hears what you say in your mind, even if you don't say it. Look what it says. Why have you, God and Moses, brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food, even though you gave us quail. There is no water, even though you gave us water out of the rock. And our soul loathes or hates this worthless bread. As a matter of fact, you know the manna that came down? He says, it's worthless. God, that bread you sent out of heaven, we don't like it. How many of you have complained about your apartment, your job, your boss, your neighbors, your car, your wife, your husband, your family, your hips? I don't like this, God. I don't like this. Is that right? Is that what you're telling me? You should be thanking me. Say thank you.
Thank you.
You should be thanking me. My son played in a football game Friday.
It was horrible. Horrible. It was a cursed event. They got killed. The bus broke down. They had two buses, so they got one bus backed into a rim, and they couldn't take it home. It was an hour and a half away. When they got there, it was over 100 degrees. It was El Centro. Two kids got taken to the hospital in an ambulance at the same time. Two ambulances drove off the field with the starting quarterback, who had a concussion, didn't know where he was. I talked to him the next day, and he says, "All I remember is getting hit." I said, "Did you know you played about 10 plays after that?" He goes, "I don't remember any of it." And then another guy hurt his back. Two ambulances come on the field, put these guys strapped up, take them out. It was just horrible. It was just, we're sitting there going, "This is not happening." And the whole game itself, what happened in the game was just like, it was like a movie for the other team. My son walks on the bus like this, because he was so beat up physically. He's like, so we're driving home. It's an hour and a half drive, which is, you know, now it's 10 o'clock. We're leaving to drive home to 11:30. And my wife is like, "He was so hurt. He was so beat up. They would hit him so hard. Football so violent. I hate it. Well, do you think he's going to be okay?" Now, she's a mom. She's supposed to care. I'm a dad. I don't care. Now, let me qualify what I mean by that. Fellas, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
It's football. He's going to be all right. I'm like, I'm driving home. I'm supposed to be compassionate. "Oh, okay, honey." I'm driving home. Gladly, it was dark in the car. I'm like, in my mind, I'm thinking this. I'm like, "Debbie, it's football. That's normal. He's supposed to be sore. If he's not sore, he didn't do nothing. He needs to go apologize." Fellas, right? So it's like, he walked on the bus. He spoke to you. He's not in the hospital like two of his friends. I said, he should be saying, "Thank you, I had the opportunity to play." When you go through hard times, it's life. You need to thank God. "God, thank you, I am going to learn how to deal with rejection." Think about that. Think about, I can deal with rejection. That's a good thing. Would you want to deal with know-how or not know-how? How many of you would not want to know how to deal with rejection? How many of you would love to master rejection? What? How are you going to master it if you don't experience it? How are you going to master budgeting your money unless you come up short? I'm not going to ask you to volunteer in this, but how many of us have come up short so many times and we still ain't got it mastered? Because we're in denial. We're in denial about what God's trying to teach us through that. We're still trying to force our issue. God wants you to master. Why? Because for many reasons. One, he's going to make you closer to him. He's going to teach you how to pray. You know, sometimes you're going through, one of the reasons you may be going through what you're going through is simply because God wants you to pray. You ain't praying. Okay, I can make you pray. You ever hear that saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make a drink? That's a lie. I can make a horse drink. How? I run it around in the hot sun. Give it salt, run it around. Give it salt, run it around. There's going to come a time when that horse is going to say, I'm going to the water. And I'm saying, no, you're not yet. No, I'm going to the water. That's going to be you. I need to pray. Because God ran you around. So what you're going through right now, you should thank God, because what God is going to teach you through what you're going through right now, you could not learn unless you're going through what you're going through. You can't.
You cannot. I was talking to a young man today, and I said to him, when you have a wife, when you get a wife, and that wife has a baby, because you will not, when that baby comes out, is born, you are going to experience a love that you never knew existed. And you just have to trust me. You can't even fabricate it. You can't imagine it. It'll happen. And it only happens when you have a baby. Just like whatever you're going through right now, God has something for you to learn. So when the next time it happens, you go, been there. Like our building, costs a lot of money. Why? Because construction is expensive. Anybody in the construction business, I don't care. Matter of fact, do you know why they're giving houses away now? My sister was living in a house, looking at a house the other day. They quoted a price, and she said, well, and before she can speak, the guy said, well, what about this? And loaded $100,000. Brand new house. What about this? Well, how about this? Why don't you offer this? Just take it. Why? Economy's boom. Construction costs are going up. People are losing money. Blah, 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 blah. Well, you know, we're dealing with price hikes in the world affecting us as well. Is God going to provide? Absolutely. How do I know that? He always has. God's always faithful. He's always faithful. And whatever you're going through right now, whatever your lions, tigers, and bears is, ain't no big thing to God. He just wants to see if you're going to trust him. Or are you going to complain? Don't complain. Say thank you. One more time, say thank you.
Thank you.
Ooh, go home. And look at that problem. Say thank you. Don't think it. Don't think it. Say it. And there's a difference. Oh, there's a big difference between thinking it and saying it. You know, when one of the things we're at the thing in Houston, we were talking about sermon preparation. Now, at lunch, I was with like five pastors. And we were talking about sermon preparation. And all of us prepare completely different. There's no right or wrong. It's just whatever fits you. And one guy said to me, how many sermons do you have? I said, we have six. He goes, when do you completely get your sermon down? Right before the sixth one. She's like, what? Well, I do five, and then the sixth one, I got it. Why? Because the more I say it, the more I learn it. I can think about it all week long I want, but it's when I start saying it, it starts to take shape. I would say, half the stories I tell you every week are not in these notes. They come out. They come in my head and out of my mouth at the same time as I'm standing here before you. And you may say, yeah, it looks like that. But I mean the really good ones too. That makes sense, you know. They just, it's like, I'm up here, blah, 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 and as I'm talking, it goes, ah, oh yeah, that's good, God. And I start saying it. And the next one, I say, okay, I'll hone that. And the next one, another one will come out. Ah. And by the end of the day, I'm like, I got it. Then I go home and I have to start over again for the next week. But the reason I tell you that is that if you go home and you say, trust me in this, try it. God, I thank you. I thank you for these bills that I don't know how I'm going to pay. I'm for real. Trust me in this. I thank you because. And the more you talk about it, and if you have someone in your family, talk to them about it. Here, what are we going to do about this? How are we going to fix it? And the more you talk and get it out, the more you will learn about what God's trying to teach you. You have to do it to see it. But if you just sit there and think about it and worry about it, you will get nowhere. Say it. Speak it. Talk to somebody about it. It's like rivers of water flowing through you. The mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. Let the junk come out of your mouth, and then the good stuff will start to come. Let it flow. Let it flow. Number three, avoid paying sin's consequences and repent. See, when God sends us through hard times, it is one of the things he's accomplishing is he's proven that you're not God. He's proven you're not invincible. He's proven you're not in total control. And also, if you don't believe in God today, when something happens and you complain, who are you complaining to? If you don't believe in God today, you don't believe there's a God, and when something happens you don't like and you start complaining, who is it that you're complaining to? There's no God. Who's to blame? You? There's no God. And let me say this. If there is a God and you reject him, who are you complaining to? Well, I'm complaining to him because he didn't bless me. Well, why should he bless you if you reject him? Why should he do anything for you
if you reject him?
That's just common sense. But of course, we don't think in common sense terms. We think in selfish me terms. It's all about me. God owes me. I deserve. I'm a good person.
Well, the Bible says the opposite. You're a sinner, deceitfully wicked. You don't even know your own sinfulness.
So when we go through this stuff, we have to realize, you know what? There's a God out there who's bigger and stronger than me, and he has graciously given me an opportunity to say I'm sorry and to learn from this and to walk with me and to take me through it. He's graciously offered me an opportunity, and I am snubbing my nose at him by whining. Think about it. You complain about your job? Thank God you have a job. Thank God you have a boss. I had a boss that didn't like me. I had a boss that cursed at me. I had a boss that wouldn't say hi to me. I had a boss that tried his best to humiliate me in front of all the other staff members, the team, standing right here. Da-da-da-da-da! Every day. Have you ever had that? A guy curse at you? Blankety blank, F word, S word, everything you can imagine in front of everybody, trying to demoralize you at the top of his lungs? I had that. And you know what's so great about it? It was comical. You know why? From the first day it happened, God said, "You ready for this?" I said, "Yeah, okay. You got about 7 weeks with this guy, 7 games. Don't let him bother you because he don't control you." Good. Every day. From the first day I got there, and I was like, "You can't faze me." And he didn't, not 1 second. You know what I learned from that? Man don't control me. I'm free. That's a good thing to have. And you know what? I got fired. I wanted to leave. I didn't have the guts to quit. And he got fired right after me. God's in control. And I got a whole lot better job. God has something for you. Don't be tripping on those people. Don't be tripping on circumstances. God is bigger. The third one is don't pay the consequence. Look what it says. Verse 6, the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people, Israel, died. How many of y'all do not like snakes? Raise your hand. How many of y'all love snakes? I love snakes. I love snakes. I'll try to tell you a story in 2 minutes. I was watching Animal Planet. The white guy goes to Amazon with the brown people on a quest to find the biggest snake in the Amazon. Are you feeling me on this? It's always the white guy with the brown people. Getting the brown people to do the dirt, the dangerous work, then he comes in when the camera's on, and then looks like the hero, and then he leaves and makes the documentary and sells it and becomes rich. It's kind of how it happens. Sorry to tell you the hardcore truth, but it's the way it is. So the white guy's down there, and you got the brown guys, and they're looking for the biggest snake so they can measure the biggest snake on the planet. They find a 29-foot anaconda, huge snake, python. I think anacondas live in the water. This is a python, so it was on the ground. And they get the snake, and I'm sure the brown guys are thinking, why are we messing with this snake? We already know what these snakes are all about. We ain't got no beef with this snake. But the white guy's making the video. Okay? They grab the snake, and the white guy has the snake by the throat. And the snake's mouth is like this big. And it's like, the snake is saying, "I am going to eat you. You are messing with the wrong brother. I am going to swallow you in front of your cameras." And the snake was like, and the dude was like, "Yo, this is for real." The snake started to squeeze. It got around, like the brothers were wrestling with the snake. And I think secretly, they just... I'm just guessing. I think that's what happened. Because it's like 40 of them, right? And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the snake was wrapped around the white guy. And he's like, and every time you exhale, the snake squeezes so you can't inhale. So he was like, Literally, he was dying. I'm cracking up. Because he ain't gonna die. It's his movie, so you know he ain't gonna, you know, he ain't gonna die. And the brother's like, and I'm like, they ain't helping. They're like, let him suffer. This could be a good movie. And so the guy's like, ah. Now he's being suffocated while he's trying to prevent the snake from swallowing his head. The snake's mouth was this big, right here. He's like, so the brothers are watching this guy get eaten, and they're like, that's exactly why we don't mess with these snakes. 29 feet long. That story has nothing to do. I just think it was hilarious. Verse 6. If you want to, you know, kind of, let me justify that story, don't mess with big snakes, okay? There you go. This is a lesson for the day. The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. You think? You think? You know that when you sin, God sends poison to kill you. It's not a snake. It's your own sinful nature. It kills you. Sin kills. You want to know how things are sinful? They always produce death. We have in our country a moral decay. We are in a moral crisis because we are endorsing immoral behavior. You want to know how something's immoral or unbiblical? It will produce death. If you teach people to do things that are against the Bible, it will always produce some kind of death. A disease, illness, emotional, psychological dysfunction, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, don't listen to what people tell you. Go find out the facts. Oh, this is normal. No. Find out the facts. If you have any question about any moral standard in this country or anywhere, just find out the facts about how it affects you or people. Let me give you an example. Our country is sexually immoral in every form it can possibly be. But I'll pick one that's very innocent, supposedly. It's sex before marriage. Something that is such a given in this country. You have sex before you get married? All you got to do, you want to live together before you get married, have sex? You diminish the chance of you ever being married in the first place. You diminish the chances of your marriage ever succeeding if you get married. You diminish his respect for you, ladies. Guaranteed. The more you sleep with him, the less respect he's going to have for you. It's just how it is. It's how we're made. And all you have to do is study the facts. And you could take that to any form of behavior you want. You could argue all you want. This is right, this is not. All you got to do is study the facts. Cigarettes, is cigarettes a sin? Hey, study the facts about what it does to your body. Then make your own call. Alcohol kills more people in this country than all drugs combined. Cigarettes and alcohol account for more deaths than everything else combined. But it's legal. So just because it's legal doesn't mean you should do it. And so you have to, when you want to ask yourself, if you're doing something wrong, you need to check with God, not the government, or not the ACLU. God decides right and wrong. And so when God says, you sin, something's going to pay. Something's going to die. You're eventually going to die, but your dreams are going to die, your hopes are going to die, and the reason we will die eventually and go into the grave is because we're sinners. So don't be deceived and be defiant against God because it's 2006. Because God is still God. His rules and his standards are exactly the same. And no matter what year it is and no matter how progressive you are in your moral standards, you are still going to die. You're going to die. Your mother's going to die. Your father's going to die. Everyone you know is going to die. And you're going to stand before God. And he ain't going to ask you what era did you live in. Because let me check the rules for that era. That ain't going to happen. So, anyway, look at verse 7. Therefore, they came to Moses and said, we sinned, for we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he would take away the serpents from us. So that Moses prayed to the people. And the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at the pole, the snake on the pole, he shall live.
So Moses made a bronze serpent, put it on a pole. So it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the serpent on the pole, or the bronze serpent on the pole, he would live. Now, I want to ask you, have you ever seen this symbol? It's a symbol in the medical industry. Anyone ever see that symbol before? Okay. Guess where that symbol comes from? What we just read. God said, put the serpent on the pole. When they lift it up, you look at it, you're healed. So the medical industry said, you know, we're going to adopt that as our symbol. When you look at the snake, and not that we look at the snake, but it's a symbol of healing. Are you feeling me on this? When you go to the doctor, next time you go to the doctor, you ask the doctor to show you, and I'm serious about this, you ask the doctor, show me the symbol for the medical industry, society, whatever it is. Okay? He's going to show you that symbol. He may fiddle around, know what it is, and you say, do you know what it is? Jose, it's a snake on a pole. You say, you know where that comes from? That comes from when Moses was in the wilderness with the Israelites, and they sinned against God, and God sent serpents on them. And for them to be healed of their sin, they had to look at the pole. And you're going to say, let me tell you what that really means, though. Turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. You know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believed in him would not perish but have eternal life. We're going to look at John 14 and 15, then 16. This is Jesus speaking. Now remember, let's see how far back you guys remember if you were here. If you could look up here for a minute. The Old Testament is a what to the New Testament? Very good. Foundation, because it does what to Jesus? Points to Jesus. Moses is told by God, put a serpent on a pole and lift it up. And whoever looks at the pole will be healed of their sin and not die. That sounds like Jesus. Now, I could say that, but look what Jesus said. Verse 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man, me, be lifted up, that whoever believes in me, him, Jesus, should not perish but have eternal life. Verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, me, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Now, I said a while ago that you can't measure anything without a number. If something can be measured, you have to use a number to measure it, involved in the measurement. Nothing can be measured, if it can be measured, without a number. Someone said, well, what about God's love? Exactly. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. What? Do you think that God's love would be different if God had 1,000 sons and they all died every day and rose from the dead? It wouldn't have been that big a deal for him to give one for you. But God gave his only son to die for you. There's no greater love than that. To give your only child to die for somebody else. It's the highest measurement because he only had one. Now, God, Jesus said, just as the serpent was lifted up, so will I be lifted up on the cross. Just as whoever looked to the serpent will be healed, so anyone who believes in me will be healed. Just as the serpent on the pole was a sinless version of the serpent on the ground, so me on the pole am a sinless version of you on the ground. Just as the serpent was lifted up, so will I be resurrected. Don't worship the serpent. Look up to me. And what God is saying to you today is that every single one of us is a sinner. And the Bible says the penalty of sin will kill us all. We will die. But the Bible, Jesus is saying, just as the serpent gave hope, so I give hope even past death. So here we are walking in the wilderness. We're getting bit by these snakes, lions, tigers, and bears, and snakes, and all this stuff. And we're getting wrapped up by snakes. And guess what? Jesus says, if you just trust me, I'll forgive you, and I'll walk with you the whole way. And when something bad happens, I'll get you through, and you'll look at it and laugh. And then when something else, struggles, temptation happens, you'll look at it and laugh. And you'll be able to take it, because I'll be there with you every step of the way. And matter of fact, when something bad happens, you may even say, thank you. Something happened to me one day. And I was so mad. So hurt, more mad And I went up, got up mad. You ever go to bed mad and get up mad? That's messed up. That means you slept mad. And then I had a conversation with somebody, asked them what to do, and they said to me some stuff. They said, you know what? You need to ask yourself first, what is God trying to tell you in this? And I was like, good. I told my wife that very day. I am so glad it happened. To this day, I'm so happy it happened. I'm so happy. Why? Because I learned how to deal with that. When you learn how to deal with stuff, you could check it off the list. That ain't going to bother me no more. There was a movie, and I don't know the name of the movie. Some of y'all are going to know when I start describing it. These little boys were walking through the woods up to this haunted house, and the lady had the eyes, and you don't look in her eyes. If you look in her eyes, you see how you die. Anyone remember that movie? Big Fish, y'all remember? And in the movie, these little boys walk up this haunted house, and this old lady, she was like 37,000 years old, and if you looked in her eyes, you saw how you were going to die. And so this guy goes up to the house, he knocks on the door, and they say, don't look at her eyes! Don't look at her eyes! And he said, no, I want to look at her eyes, because I want to know how I'm going to die. Because if I know how I'm going to die, oh, this gives me chills. I know not all the other things won't kill me. Oh, someone say amen. That person, if I know that's how I'm going to do, I don't got to worry about nothing else. Well, you know what? Because God got me through that, I don't got to worry about that no more. I don't got to worry about that no more. Go ahead and offend me. Good. It didn't hurt. Now let's deal. But come on now. It's like when Holyfield, y'all remember when he fought Mike Tyson? Oh, my, he was like, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things Christ strengthens me. And they were in the middle. Mike Tyson's all mugging up. Yeah, yeah. And Holyfield's like, this was crooked grin. You can't hurt me, Mike. I ain't scared of you, Mike. And Mike started hitting him. He's like, ain't hurt, Mike. You in trouble because that don't work with me. He bit his ear. He bit his ear. He goes, Mike, that don't work with me. Devil, you got to come up with something new. Matter of fact, and whatever you come up with, God got an answer. But it all starts with you and Jesus. You know, I tell you, you want to have some fun with the devil? Start writing down all the trials you overcame. Make a list. I overcame shortage of money. I overcame rejection. I overcame a broken heart. I overcame fear of being fired. I overcame loneliness. Overcome, and you go, dang, I overcame a lot of stuff. You know where the devil has his power? Is when you forget all that. You forget it, you got to relearn it. But if you remember it, he's going to be like this. And he'll come up with something else. And you go, that's okay. As David said, I killed the lion and I killed the bear. What you got? But it starts with Jesus. You're giving your life to him, and you walk with him. So let's all bow our heads and pray. Lord, we thank you so much. You're so good. Lord, I want to thank you for that snake that almost ate that man. You made that snake. And you make all those animals that are so beautiful and so powerful and can do things we can't do. Just to remind us that we are not almighty. We are not almighty. We need to respect you and everything you made. And we need to respect our place in your world. We are just a visitor here on this earth. Our citizenship is in heaven. Lord, I pray for the people this morning who need to give their life to you, that they may be saved. I pray for the people who need to be forgiven this morning. Let me tell you, Jesus loves you. He doesn't want to hurt you.
He wants to comfort you. He has an amazing, amazing plan. If this morning you realize Jesus loves you and you want him to forgive you of your sin, just pray with me in the privacy of your heart. If you want God to heal you of the poison from the snakes, the result of your sin, pray this prayer if you would like to inherit eternal life. In the privacy of your heart, pray, dear God, thank you for showing me I have sin. Thank you for showing me I'm not God. Thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross for me. Jesus, I confess you as my Savior today. I ask you to be my Lord today. Fill me with your Holy Spirit today. I want to be born all over again. Born of the Spirit of God. Thank you, God. I surrender my life to you this morning. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer and this morning you're saying, Lord, please forgive me. Please grant me eternal life. If today's the day you look up at the serpent, right now, eyes closed, heads bowed, just stand to your feet and acknowledge his forgiveness in your life. Right now. Today you're saying, yes, I want eternal life. God bless you. Stay standing. Good. God bless you. Anybody else? Stand to your feet. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Very good. Very good. Stay standing. Very good. God bless you. God is calling you right now. He's saying, come on. Come on. Stand to your feet. Give me a chance. Anybody else? Stand to your feet. Good. Very good. We see you. Very good. Very good. We see you. Very good. We see you. Very good. Very good. Anybody else? Very good. Very good. Very good. Now, as we welcome you to the family of God, all of you who are around the room, we're going to ask you as we welcome you and encourage you to step out of your seat and come down to the altar. And let's give them a hand as they come on down. Amen. Who's the man this morning? Who's the man?
I got you, girl.
Stay right there. Stay right there. Stay right there.
Hello. God bless you.
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 God bless you. God bless you. Stay right here. Stay right here. Come on. Come on. Come on up. Very good. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Amen. You know, I learned something this morning I never knew, and I want to challenge you to see if you ever thought about this. You know when you wake up in the morning and your breath stinks? Right? And then you brush your teeth? I wonder if God gives us bad breath so we would clean our teeth. If your breath didn't stink in the morning, would you brush your teeth? I mean, because how many of you, maybe, you know, middle of the day you went, didn't smell anything, didn't brush your teeth? Because you think, my breath don't stink, so I don't need to brush my teeth. Are you following me on this? I'll make sense of it here in a minute, but just think about it. You wake up, your breath stinks, you put toothpaste on, and you brush your teeth, and as a consequence, your teeth gets clean. So it's like God says, in order for me to get you to clean your teeth, I'm going to make your breath funky. Are you feeling me on this? And in order for us to get clean of our sin, we got to be funky. Because that's the only way we know we have sin. Are you following me on this? So when you realize, man, I messed up or I did something, that's not a bad thing. It's the only way we're going to realize that we need to do something about it. It's a good thing. And all of us mess up. But God is in the life-changing business. That's what he does. Sometimes we feel like, well, I'll try it on my own and go to God as my last resort because I don't want to you know, be weak or bother God. No. That's backwards. We need to go to God right away because that's what he does. That's what he does. It's a good thing. He's like, finally, I can bless you now. I can love you now. Finally. That's what I want to do. We just got to let him. So for everybody, y'all standing here, y'all here this week. This week, here's what I want you to do. I want you to find your little serpent, your little lion, tiger, and bad thing, your little problem. Thank God for it. Speak it. Thank you, God. Thank you for what you're going to show me, and I want you to teach me. I know you're going to get me through. Send me something to my life to help me. Whatever you got to do, say those words with your mouth. Over. Every time you think about it. Speak it. Talk to people about it. See what happens. Don't just let it drive you crazy. And don't complain. Don't complain. God loves every single one of you. And he's got something for you that is you do not know. You have to trust him. You just have to trust him and walk with him every day. So we're going to pray for y'all. Then we're going to have you follow that young lady right there. And we're going to take you on a room and give you some material and hopefully get you on the next step. And the next step, by the way, is to get in a small group, which we're all going to do when we go out, and so we can get to know some people. That's going to really help. Amen? Let's pray for them. Lord, we thank you so much for these people. Thank you that you love them. Thank you that they took a step of faith today and courage. And I pray that they will never forget this day and never think they don't need you anymore. That they would trust you every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Before y'all leave, if I can ask as many of y'all who are up at 8 o'clock in the morning, we have an 8 o'clock service, to go to that service because we're capacity at this service in the 9:45, and we're trying to make more room. If you don't mind going to the 8 o'clock service, we're much appreciated. So let's give these people a hand as they walk out that way. God bless you.